Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning service. First Sunday in the month of August. Summer's half over. Can you believe it? And this is our usual communion Sunday, but we won't be passing any of the elements out this morning. We'll still give another month or so before we do that. But let me just say welcome, and nice to see you all here this morning. Because it is Communion Sunday, we're going to sing the Psalm 34:3. I will magnify the Lord, and I will invite you to stand to do so. You can tell Mum's not up to being here today, so we'll be singing a cappella again. Here we go. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Stay standing, if you would. My cough is not because I'm sick. It's sinus dripping. And let's sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And verse 3. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Robert's going to come and lead us in opening prayer.
Been a while since I've been up here seeing your faces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word, your grace that we heard about in Sunday school, and your mercies are so abundant upon us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this time to gather together, to sing these great songs, to worship you and to hear your word explained. We ask your blessing now on the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. I invite you to take your Bibles for our scripture reading this morning. We're going to look at several passages in the Gospel of John, and we'll start with chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Here is the Apostle John writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He pens these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let me have you come down to verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then if you'll come over to chapter 8, John chapter 8, find verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then over the next chapter, chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then finally over in chapter 12, beginning in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And we'll stop there and ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning. As obviously you can tell, we're going to be looking at Christ's statement, "I am the light of the world," in just a little bit. If you have offering this morning, there are plates all around, so you know where, I guess you're used to the drill by now, of where to drop off your offerings. Please help yourself to that. Announcements are in the bulletin. Please take some time to read through the things that are there. Just want to highlight a couple of things. Our missionaries of the month for August are the Turpins, Jim and Ruth, now retired, but longtime missionaries in the country of Norway. I think over 40 years Jim was over there serving the Lord in Norway. They are now retired, living in Listowel, and as you can see the little bulletin blurb there, undergoing some rather serious health issues these days. So I thought that even though we don't support them financially anymore, I thought it'd be good for us to remember them this month and keep them in our daily prayers. So the Turpins are our missionaries of the month. Pray for also the Littles. They are traveling here to London on Tuesday. And trusting that everything will go well for them, that there won't be any hindrances or blocks to them getting here, that the travel might be safe for them and that they'll get here in good time. We'll look forward to seeing them, I'm sure, next Sunday while they are here. They are, of course, waiting for things to open up so that they can get back to St. Lucia. Greg's been involved and in touch with all of the folks in the church down there through the internet and so on. But I know that his heart is to get back there to see the people face to face. So you can pray for them. We put a report on the business meeting in the bulletin for this Sunday, and the ministry report, I put up a copy of it on the bulletin board. If you're interested, you can read it there. And then the other thing we wanted to mention was the mortgage challenge. We have an opportunity given to us by the credit union to put another down payment on another payment on the principal of our mortgage another time this year. Usually it's only on the anniversary date of the mortgage, but they're going to give us that extra opportunity without penalty to put on the principal. So we are calling for another mortgage challenge and planning to take a love offering for the mortgage on anniversary Sunday this year, which will be Sunday, September, I think it's the 27th. It's listed in the bulletin. You can read it there. And so we're just asking folks, like we do with all of our challenges, just set some money aside as much as you can or what you feel the Lord's leading you to do. And then we'll gather it all together on the anniversary Sunday. And then Dave is going to take that money and apply it to the mortgage sometime in October. Along with, you'll see in the report on the business meeting, we had voted to take $10,000 out of the ministry fund, which was at that point in time $16,000. So it still leaves us a good amount in the balance of the ministry fund, and use that. Plus, there's $535 in monies that come in each week for the mortgage challenge. So we'll have at least $10,500 and change to put towards, and then whatever will come in on anniversary Sunday. Mortgage is now down to $38,000 and a little bit. So if we can do a little bit more this year, next year should be the year that we will be done that. And I look forward to that that occasion. That's all that we'll mention by the way of announcements, and you can read the rest there in your bulletin. Now, because this is Communion Sunday, and we won't be passing the elements again today, I thought that it would be still good for us to take a few moments, some quiet self-examination, as Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians 11, And just give you that opportunity here on the first day of the month, first Sunday of the month, and then I will return thanks for those elements and thank the Lord for the salvation that He's provided, and to thank the Lord Jesus for giving of His life and the shedding of His blood for us. So I thought that just for a few moments anyways, we should at least have that part of communion. The Lord knows our heart. He knows we want to be eating and to drink that cup. But we still want to be a little bit safe these days. So let me invite you to take a few moments, do some quiet business with the Lord, self-examination, whatever you need to say to Him. And then after a couple of moments, we'll just return thanks for our salvation and Christ's work on the cross. And then we'll carry on in the service. Heavenly Father, as Your children are praying quietly this morning, we want to give You thanks and praise for all that You have done on our behalf to save us from our sins through through Your Son, Your only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and all that He did on Calvary's cross. It seems so strange to us not to be able to eat the bread or to drink from the cup. We don't like it. But You know our hearts, Lord, that in our spirit we're eating and drinking through this ordinance that You have given to us. And I know that You see our heart, and that's what's most important. And our heart is there to eat and to drink, even though we can't do that physically right now. We thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You were willing to come to this earth, take on a human body, that You might bear our sins upon Your body, upon the tree. We thank You for dying in our place and for our sins. We thank You for rising again from the dead on the third day, just as You said You would do, even before it all took place. We thank You so much for the provision that You have made for our sinfulness, and that now through simple faith in Thyself, belief and trust, we can have our sins forgiven and the gift of eternal life, the life of God and Thy life in us forever. And we want to just give You praise and thanks this morning, as we are wont to do, to thank You for that which You have done for us on our behalf, in our place, and for our eternal well-being. And we do pray that each one that is here today have understood their sinfulness and the need of a Savior, and that You have provided that salvation for us through Your death on the cross. And I trust that each one of us here in this room this morning has trusted You as Lord and Savior by grace through faith. And that we know today that we are saved, and that when the time comes for us to leave this world, to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, to enter into eternity, that we will be in Your very presence when we die in this world. And we thank You for that hope that we have. And in the meantime, we have the great hope of Your wonderful return to catch us up and take us away to be with Thyself for eternity. And we thank You that it all surrounds this time of Your death on the cross, Your burial, and Your resurrection. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You loved us so much, that You were willing to stay on that cross, even through all the pain, even through the Father turning away from You as well. We thank You that You endured through it all because You loved us so much, and it was the only means for us to be forgiven and to have eternal life. And so we thank You this morning and pray that You will bless these few moments in all of our lives, that You will accept of our thanks and our praise this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Here's a song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. It's the tune to All for Jesus. Okay, you know, we know that tune, but these are different words. I thought this would be a good song to sing this morning. So just stay seated while we do that, and let's sing together. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For His love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray. While I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at Thy feet. O look down in love upon me. Let me see Thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as He is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Good singing this morning. Because this is Communion Sunday, we are considering the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus in our study time. At least the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. That's where we are. Do you remember what they are? How many of them are there? Seven? Number one, I am the bread of life. We looked at that last time. That's John chapter 6. This morning we're going to take a look at I am the light of the world, in several places in John's Gospel where Jesus says that. And then we'll also, in the days ahead, look at I am the door. Fourthly, I am the good shepherd. Fifthly, I am the resurrection and the life. Number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And number 7, I am the vine, all the way back in John 15. Recall also this morning that the most important and significant of the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus is to be found in John 8:58. We looked at this quite a few months ago when we were starting our little series through the I Ams. In John 8:58, Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Jews, He said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Ego eimi is in the Greek text. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. This, you'll remember, relates to the name of Jehovah God that He gave to Moses in Exodus 3:13-14, when God was sending Moses back to Egypt to bring His people out into a promised land. In Exodus 3:13-14, we read, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so the I am statements of the Lord Jesus are important and significant. In John 8:58, Jesus is identifying himself as Jehovah God towards his people, the true, living, self-existent God. These I am statements of the Lord Jesus tell us much about Jesus Christ, who he is, and the things that he accomplishes. Now, last month, we considered the statement, I am the bread of life, found in John chapter 6. Three times Jesus said it, in verse 35, 48, and 51. And now this morning, we want to consider the next I am statement, which is, I am the light of the world. Once again, Jesus reveals this truth about himself three times in the Gospel of John. It's becoming a pattern, isn't it? The number three occurring many, many times. Three times in John's Gospel. In John chapter 8, verse 12, and then 9, verse 5, and then also in 12, verse 46, and we'll look at each of those in turn. Let's begin with the first one. I invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, we read this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, we don't have time this morning, and I wish we did, to look into the context of this statement, because you'll see right at the beginning of verse 12, the words, Then spake Jesus again unto them. That little phrase drives us into the previous context of chapter 8. Do you know what that was? We didn't take time to read those verses. But that is the occasion when this woman was taken into, she was caught in adultery in the very act, it says. And she was brought to Jesus by the Jews, and they say, so what do you say? Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? And what did Jesus do? Stooped down, wrote something on the ground. And when he stood up, he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Then he bent back down and wrote some more on the ground. There's all kinds of speculation as to what he wrote on the ground. I sometimes wonder if it was not the names of all of those guys that brought this woman, who themselves were great sinners, in that crowd. I don't know. And we're not told, so we won't go further with that. But when Jesus stood up again, everybody was gone. They left, we're told, from the oldest to the youngest. And when he stood and saw that there was no one there, he said to the woman, Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No. And Jesus in verse 11 says, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then he says, I am the light of the world. To those around once again. It's an interesting turn for the Lord Jesus from what has just happened with this woman taken in adultery to now talking about himself as the light of the world. And as we read a little bit more in the context, he says, you judge after the flesh, speaking to the Jews, this is verse 15, I judge no man, yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. One of the things about the statement, I am the light of the world, has to come in relationship to his non-condemnation of that woman taken in adultery versus the judgment by the flesh of all of those who had brought her. The light of the world is an interesting phrase. It's not an ambiguous statement. Jesus is very clear, isn't he? Very clearly he says, I am the light of the world. He is the light not just for the righteous and for the saints. He is the light not just for the Jewish people, but he is the light for the whole world. the light of the world. He's the light for all men, all nations, all peoples, all times. He is the light of the world. So why is it significant then that he be the light of the world? Well, the answer to that is simply because the world is a place of darkness and sin and evil and wickedness and unrighteousness, hatred, malice, violence. Right? Remember when God told Noah to build a boat because he's going to destroy the world? And there were four reasons that were given for why God was going to destroy the world, everything that had breath. Because the imagination of the... I have to look it up, sorry. The imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually, he says. Here it is. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That's number one. Number two, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then down in verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God. That's number three, corrupted his way. And number four, the earth was filled with violence. Sounds like today, doesn't it? You listen to the news, you look at the world around us, I don't think there's much difference between the days of Noah and our days. And Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the days of his return. And we know the rapture is going to take place at least about 7 years before he actually returns to this earth. So we got to be close, folks. We have to be close to his coming to catch us away in the rapture. So the statement that Jesus is the light of the world is so important and significant because this world is a place of darkness and sin and wickedness and unrighteousness. Now, you know John 3, verse 16. We all know that by heart. But a little bit further along in the context, we read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen to this. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is the condemnation. Lights come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the nature and character of this fallen world in which we live today. This world is a dark place. John 12:46, one of the three verses where we read that Jesus said that he is the light of the world. John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So if you don't come to Christ, who is the light of the world, how do you abide? In what do you abide? In darkness. In this world. Because the world is a dark place. Christ has come to deliver us from the darkness of this old world and bring us into the light of God. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus as he was going there to arrest believers in the Lord Jesus? This is the event as recorded in Acts chapter 9, but in Paul's testimony before Agrippa, he gave this this testimony. This is Acts 26, verse 18, the word of the Lord Jesus to him. Part of the mandate that Christ was giving to Saul that would be accomplished among the Gentiles. And it says this in verse 18. To open their eyes, that's the eyes of the Gentiles, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes was part of Paul's service for the Lord Jesus, part of his ministry. To open the eyes of the Gentile. Why do men need their eyes opened? The answer is in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, which says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a great statement that is in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. So this world is a dark place. People who are lost in this world have been blinded by the God of this world, who is the devil and Satan. And Christ has come as a light into this world to bring us out of the light and out of the domain and the realm of Satan and the devil and into the light of God. What do you say to that? Don't we say, praise the Lord. God took the initiative here to send his only begotten Son to this world to be the light in the darkness, that we might find the truth, believe in him, and be saved from our sins. And I hope you understand that the light of the Lord Jesus is clear, it's intense, and it is all illuminating. You know what it's like to go into a dark room with the lights off, and it depends on where you are and what room you may be going. Whether, you know, it could be a little bit of fear and trepidation. You don't know what's in there, what's hiding in the corners. But as soon as you flip that light switch on, everything becomes illuminated, and you have confidence and boldness to enter into that room. And Christ has done that on a worldwide scale for us. When our building here, we have a system that should the hydro fail, the power go out, all the lights will go out. We have emergency lights. There's one up on that wall. There's one back there, one by the entrance, all spread out through the building. And they show little pinpoints of light. Why? So we can find our way out, if need be, of this building. But those lights don't last forever. When the power goes out, they're on battery. And the battery doesn't last forever. I think they're rated for something like 20 minutes. To be able to get out of the building. Christ's light never goes out. It's not on battery power. It's in him that is the power to share the light of the world. And thank the Lord that his light is clear, intense, all illuminating, and helps us to find our way out of the darkness and into his light. Now, John makes this statement, interesting statement, in John 1, verses 1 through 5. We read that a little bit earlier in our scripture reading. Let me read it for you again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In verse 4, we read, in him, the word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Right? The life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It just didn't get the light. It didn't understand it. It didn't want the light. It loved darkness because its deeds were evil. And then we read a little bit further in John 1, verse 9 to 13. That was the true light, speaking of the Word, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, that is his own people, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we understand that the light of the Lord Jesus was the very life that he had. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world, John said. And what kind of life did the Lord Jesus have? Because we know that the Word became flesh, dwelt amongst us, and we know him as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of life did the Lord Jesus have? Well, his life was eternal life, a divine life. He was and is God come in the flesh. So everything about God in terms of life and light is all to be seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. We can say this, his life was the glory of God. His life was pure, sinless, holy, righteous, true, and perfect. Perfect. No other one like the Lord Jesus has ever existed in this world of ours. He is perfect and he is true. Now, just think about this for a moment. Light also is the communication of truth. It's the communication of truth. You know, sometimes when you're struggling with some kind of a thing at work or at home, and we say all of a sudden the light goes on, and we understand how to move forward and what to do. Light is the communication of truth. In Christ's situation, it's the truth of God that he is communicating. And what truth is that? Well, we can think about a number of things. It's the truth that mankind are sinners and in need of salvation from their sin. It's the truth that Jesus Christ is the incarnate, only begotten Son of the living God. It is the truth that God loves the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to pay the price for sin, that those who would put their faith and trust in him would be saved, that is, not perish, and have the gift of eternal life. It's the truth that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, the head of the church, the soon coming Lord to rule over this world. The light that he shines in this world is the truth of everything that God wants us to know. We could also say it's the truth that is communicated is the truth of God's Word. Right? This is his truth. John 17:17, Jesus in his high priestly prayer to his Father in John 17:17 says, sanctify them according to thy word. Sanctify them according to thy, is it truth or word? You look it up and tell me. Thy word is truth is what I wanted to get to anyways. Thy word is truth. And so we find that we have God's Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, which is the truth of God for us. And that's not just, for an isolated period of time. The Word of God is for all time, all people, all nations, anywhere, all eras. It is the truth of God for all time. And we know that the Word of God will never fail, right? It'll never cease. So because light is the communication of truth, God's Word is the truth, we read in Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path," right? He is a light unto my path. And when we think about the Word as the Scriptures, we also have to keep in mind that the Word is also the Lord Jesus himself, right? He is the Word, John 1:1, and he became flesh. So the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He's the one that shines the light on our pathway, and that light is recorded for us and revealed for us in his Word. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world," this is the lost, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." People that are lost in this world today have blinders. They've been blinded by the devil. It's kind of like that little cover we put over the video projector here. So it'll cut off the words that are there, and I don't have to reboot everything when we come to our next song. The people in the world have been blinded by the God of this world, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Satan does a pretty good job at blinding people, but thank the Lord, the Spirit of God can overcome that in individuals who want to know what the truth is, and who will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and will call on the name of the Lord and be saved, and then have that light guide and direct them into life and living. So truth is the person of Christ. Truth is his life, which is pure, holy, righteous, perfect. Truth is the Word of God. And all of those things are to be seen collected in the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus. So let me remind you of John 8, verse 12 again. "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christ is the light that shines on our path, that we walk not in darkness when we follow him. And when we have Christ and abide in him, we have the light of life, because he is the light of life. Beloved, this morning is so very important that we embrace the light of Christ, that we believe on him as our Lord and as our Savior. To believe in Christ by faith and trust is so vital to our eternal well-being, because without him, we're lost and in darkness. And I trust that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning. And the question is, are you walking in the light? Let me have you come over to 1 John chapter 1 just for a moment. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, look what John writes here. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How important it is for us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the light of the world, and to walk in that light so that we don't have, so that we are not in darkness anymore. One more thing to be said about the Lord Jesus being the light, and that comes out of the second statement in John's Gospel about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. This is in John 9, verse 5. So if you want to flip back to John 9. Find verse 5. We'll only read the verse. You can read the context on your own. John 9, verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Did you get that? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, Jesus is no longer here in the world, per se. I mean, he is. Everything's in his presence. He's omnipresent. We understand that. But his physical presence is not here on earth. Where is he today? In heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, when the devil comes along and to accuse the brethren, he is there to intercede for us as our advocate. But he's no longer here. He ascended back into heaven way back in Acts 1, verse 9, 40 days after his resurrection. So does that mean then that there is no light in the world today? Has the light gone dim? Has the battery gone out since he has left? Well, of course not. Fact is, Jesus has not left us without a light in this world. His light has been removed, but his light has also been given to others. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Jesus said, ye are the lights of the world. Singular. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus may have left to go back to heaven only until the Father says, okay, it's time to go back to the earth and get your people. But in the meantime, he has given to those who have believed on him, who are following him, the ability to be the light of the world, and with the encouragement to let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice, not glorify you, but glorify your Father in heaven. Philippians 2:15, Paul writes to the Philippians and says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, notice, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You are the light of the world today, you who know Christ as your personal Savior. That's pretty wise of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He knew he was going back to heaven, and he says, as long as I am on the earth, as long as I'm in the earth, I am the light of the world. But he knew he would be leaving. And so he gave the responsibility to shine as lights in the world to, according to Philippians 2:15, the sons of God, which is all of us who have put our faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior, who have been saved, born again, bought by the blood of Christ, saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. You are the lights of the world today. And the light that we are to shine forth needs to be the same kind of light as the Lord Jesus was. True, pure, no darkness in any of that. It behooves us to take some time to think through our lives that the light that we are shining out is pure and true according to him. You know that there's a verse, I can't pull it up to mind right now, but Jesus had said, be sure that the light that you're shining is not darkness. Now that's an interesting phrase to try and contemplate. The light that you shine could be darkness. Well, if our light is not sourced in Christ, what we appear to people and what we say to people and how we live may be more like darkness than truth. So, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But now that he's gone, you, sons of God, daughters of God, are lights in this world. And we are to let our light shine. As we live Christ-like lives to the glory of God, then the light of Christ and the gospel of Christ will shine out from us to those who are lost in the dark world. And perhaps in the sharing of our testimony, the giving of the gospel, that light might break through the blinders that Satan has put on the lost, and that the glorious light of the gospel of Christ might shine into their hearts and into their minds. So, shine on, Christian. Shine on. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity just to think through Christ's statement on being the light of the world. We know that there is so much more that could be said, and I trust that what we've said this morning might just stir the hearts of your people here to maybe dig a little bit further and a little bit more into the meaning of the light of the world and the ramifications of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that while you were here, you were the light of the world, but you have given that light to those who have believed in you, to the sons and daughters of God who now shine as lights in this world. We pray that you would help us to make sure that our light that is shining out is clear, it's bright, it's true, and that it's pure, and that it could be to the saving of the souls of those who will see that light and to hear and to see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. We pray that our lives might be effective for thyself in giving the word and the gospel to this world that lies in darkness. I pray that you would just help us to let our lights shine really brightly in these days. Thank you for your word. Plant it deeply in our hearts. And we thank you for the opportunity to think it through a little bit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. We're going to sing one more time. Eternal. The day of March has come. So let's stand and we'll sing. Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, your tents will be our home. Through days of preparation, your grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. And the last. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears. For gladness breaks like morning, where'er your face appears. Your cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might. Did you notice that? Your cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. So let our light shine this day. Thank you for being here today. Hope you have a nice rest of the day. Doesn't look like it's raining quite yet. Dave will like that as he rode his bike here this morning. We hope you'll get home without the raindrops falling. And just to let you know, Nick has, I think yesterday, left London. He's traveling out west to visit his daughter out in Calgary. So you might want to keep him in mind. He was hoping to make the trip in 2 days, but then he said, well, maybe it'll be 3 days. So pray for him as he works his way across Canada. So let's pray, and we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a good morning this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We trust that all that we have said and done this morning has been pleasing in thy sight and will bring great glory to your name. Thank you for just this place that you have given to us to gather in, and for this time to worship you. I pray that you'll dismiss us with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We are dismissed.